Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
And good morning from downtown Portland. We are on the road with the Arizona Wildcats, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, partnering with the Arizona Republic. It is a overcast, 50-some-odd degree day here in Portland. Eric is back in our Phoenix studios. Our coverage, by the way, on the road with the U of A, and the way they looked yesterday, looks like they're going to be on the road for a while. Brought to you by Quarles & Brady LLP. Quarles & Brady LLP, appreciate their support. They have been terrific partners in stepping up. I know Greg Byrne was thrilled to hear that we were here in Portland. Quarles & Brady LLP, that is terrific. Eric is back in our studios in Phoenix. He joins us on the stream today. On your end of things, were you impressed with U of A yesterday?
I was. I mean, yeah? You saw all the higher seeds that either struggled or lost yesterday. And it was nice that U of A came out and took care of business. I mean, when the game started, it was pretty easy to see that the Texas Southern wasn't going to be much of a match, but they played hard. I know Sean Miller wasn't exactly thrilled with all aspects of yesterday's performance, and it's going to be a lot tougher playing Ohio State, the same team that bumped them out of, what was it, the Sweet 16 2 years ago?
Yeah, you and I were there.
Correct.
The thing is, so offensively yesterday, U of A was really good. Defensively, they weren't good. And in the first half, Texas Southern had three missed putbacks. I mean, like right under the basket. And they had two missed layups. So right there is 10 points if they make those shots. On the other end of the court, Stanley Johnson was just unbelievable. I was sitting right behind the TNT broadcast crew yesterday. So I was getting crushed by people saying, hey, nice shirt. And you know, when are you going to get your hair cut? Because there is no hair to get cut anymore and all that stuff. And it was fine.
Well, luckily, you're tall, so you could probably see over, who was it, Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan, whoever was sitting right in front of you.
And Dan Bonner. They're very nice. And it's funny, with Reggie Miller right in front of me, some people get, you know, oh my gosh, you're right around, he's just an athlete, he's just a guy, you know? I mean, I don't say that just, I don't get wound up about that stuff. But I do get wound up when I see somebody who is, in my opinion, he was a terrific NBA player. He's terrific. And I remember him back at UCLA and even in high school, the buzz about he and Cheryl growing up in Southern California. He still has the passion, man. Yesterday, Eric, a couple times when Stanley Johnson was doing his thing and Reggie's right in front of us and there's other writers and media on either side of me. And Reggie Miller would stand up because he's so excited, like a fan. And the people are trying to look over him and they're complaining, you know, it's the 60-year-old writer. Oh, come on, Reggie, sit down and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, I don't know, it's kind of cool. Reggie Miller is really into watching Stanley Johnson. And then he dropped the LeBron James comparison. And I'm like, oh my gosh, really? He went there? Which is fine. In fact, here it is. This is going to get played over and over and over. Here's Reggie Miller yesterday, after Stanley Johnson went baseline and threw a hammer down on Texas Southern.
Manchild, I'm sorry. I mean, we may be seeing the reincarnation of LeBron James. I mean, LeBron James had this type of body at his age. I mean, he just goes baseline. There's no help. And obviously the finish and the elevation and the athleticism here by Stanley Johnson.
Yes, so he was gushing and gushing and gushing. It's kind of fun. And then during breaks, he's turning to the guys on either side of him. And they had a good time yesterday. They're high-fiving each other. And they called four games. And I'm sure by the time Eastern Washington and Georgetown finished last night here in Portland, that they were just wiped out. But we'll talk more about that in a minute. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino. The weekend is here. You can get away for some spring skiing still at the Sunrise Ski Resort. Who wouldn't want to go to the Sunrise Ski Resort and enjoy themselves, have some fun, do it all at the Honda Resort and Casino. Stay there, pull down on the slots for the weekend, eat some great food, have some fun, terrific entertainment, and then ski, snowboard, sled, whatever it may be at Sunrise, and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. That is the Honda Resort and Casino. We're going to have Chris Cartman with us in about 10 minutes because there are other things I want to get to today. Some big stuff around Marcus Mariota and potentially Tennessee looking at taking the second pick in the draft and trading out of Mariota. And there's five teams, Jason Lock on Four, who is one of the best insiders around, had this story. Five teams in the NFL looking at perhaps trading up. This is also going to be Adrian Peterson-centric here in the next week. The NFL owners are meeting at the Biltmore starting tomorrow, actually. They start arriving. But the NFL league meetings will go on through next Wednesday. And so when you have everybody together and with Adrian Peterson sitting out there with the Arizona Cardinals, you can guarantee that next week there will be a lot of Adrian Peterson to the Cardinals conversation unless it finally comes to a head. Here is Albert Breer from the NFL Network. He was with us on yesterday's show on the Vikings not wanting to lose Adrian Peterson. Here's Albert Breer.
Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer and North Turner and all the guys in the football side of the building have wanted Adrian Peterson back. You know, and I think they've got the go-ahead now from ownership. Can they fix that bridge? You know, and I mean, it's going to be difficult.
It would be really interesting. Eric, wouldn't it be fun if Adrian Peterson showed up at the NFL meetings? Just, I'm here and I'm going to gather all the media around and I want out.
That'd be pretty cool.
I don't want to go back to Minnesota.
You know, it's not unheard of for NFL players to show up at random events. I don't know if you heard, you're out in Portland, but LeGarrette Blount took in the GCU-NAU basketball game and was sitting courtside the other night. So who knows? Anything's possible.
But and I heard yesterday Larry Fitzgerald was out at the LPGA event, or Wednesday was, I guess. And yeah, I mean, we can actually stay up on things here in Portland, even though it's a little bit of an outpost, but the city's fine. I'll get into that. We had some travel stuff yesterday and just some interesting moments last night out in the town. We have to share those behind the scenes on the road stories in Portland, just give you a feel about all this. But now I think if Adrian Peterson truly wants out, and I have been of the opinion that the Vikings have been kissing his butt for the last few weeks. And he is the one that did this to the organization. You know, Eric, I saw the story about Greg Hardy signing with the Cowboys and Dale Hansen, the veteran sportscaster down there, just going crazy on the air. And that's Dale. And he has every right to that. And I feel the same way. And the mayor of Dallas spoke out about what a tragedy it is that the Cowboys signed Greg Hardy. And there'll always be that guy out there that says, well, who cares? They have Greg Hardy. I don't think there'd be that type of backlash around Adrian Peterson, because we're not talking about taking a woman, hitting her, and throwing her on a stack of loaded guns. We're talking about a guy that he did something reprehensible to his child and disciplining him. And I'm not in favor of how he disciplined him. But is that how he was raised?
Not everybody thinks Adrian Peterson did anything wrong. I mean, that's more of how he was raised, how I was raised, how you were raised. Everyone was raised a little different, and that's just Adrian Peterson may not have known any better. We don't know that. I don't know his background.
Sure. So there's a lot of NFL, but I will just tell you right now, nationally, the vibe and focus will be on Arizona next week at the NFL owners meetings at the Biltmore, actually starting tomorrow. And with Adrian Peterson and the Cardinals playing footsie with one another, I think there's going to be some movement one way or the other. Here's more of Albert Breer. He joined us earlier this week on the Peterson price tag may be too high for the Cardinals.
I think the one thing that a lot of people aren't paying as much attention to here that's important is the money. He's on the books for $13 million for next year. The Vikings are willing to pay that. I don't know how many other teams are willing to go that far financially to bring Adrian Peterson in. And certainly cap space is drying up across the league and teams have their budgets and everything else. Each day that passes with Adrian Peterson still on the Vikings roster, you know, increases the likelihood that he's going to be a Minnesota Viking in 2015.
Yeah, and I would tend to agree with that, but the Cardinals, I think, are in a position still to make a push at this. So, long story short, Peterson meetings this week, and a little bit later in the show I'm going to talk about the Mariota five teams interested in Marcus Mariota minimum. Jason Lock on Four breaking that down. I think a pretty interesting read, and the Cardinals are not one of those teams. You can actually make the argument they should be, but I'm not going to go there here. So let's focus quite a bit here in the next few minutes on what's going on up here. I had so much fun yesterday, Eric. I'm sitting there courtside and I'm watching Arizona. Yeah, I'm working, I'm writing, I'm tweeting. People are interacting. There was really not a buzz in the arena. It was not like it was not like Las Vegas where everybody was all excited and all that fired up and it was a sea of red. In up here, it's mostly, there's a lot of Ohio State fans up here, which drives the people in Oregon crazy because of what happened during football. Like the attendance, the guy driving me to the game, he's like, all we want is Ohio State to lose. We don't want to hear Ohio State. And Ohio State plays the Snoopy song over and over and over. It's kind of like USC and Fight On, like just enough, okay? Nobody cares about your basketball program. They care about your football program. I care about their basketball program because yesterday I saw a kid that was, I'd heard about D'Angelo Russell, but until I saw him yesterday in an overtime game, it was terrific, just terrific to watch him. And I'll get to that in a minute. On the U of A side of things yesterday, they just got out and ran. That's all they had to do. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson had himself a terrific day for the Cats.
Rondé through the lane, put it up off the glass and score. They can't stop him.
And they avoid the charge. Nice sidestep.
It's Brian Jeffries there doing his thing. But Sean Miller was not pleased with this team's defense. And I think he had every right to not be pleased with his team's defense. There were far too many times where Texas Southern, who was small across their front line, was like a sea that parted for them to have easy looks at the basket. Many times during the, I thought the second half U of A's defense was much, much better. Here's Sean Miller after they blow out Texas Southern, not happy with the defense.
What we talked a lot about during the game and after the game is just we came into this tournament as a great defensive team, and we were not that today. And not that, you know, the roof's caving in on us, but I think the point that we made is this tournament is unforgiving, and when you don't do the things that you do well, you're not in the tournament very long.
So they've got to ramp up their defense, and later today we'll be over at the Moda Center. People are like, what is Moda? Moda is a medical group up here. I don't have all the answers to these things. I come up and do games, and I get notes or emails or DM. I get stuff like, what is Moda? You say Moda, who knows? It's not Manny Moda. It's not the Dodgers hitter. It's a medical group, okay? So let's just move on from the name of the facility up here. There are more Ohio State fans than Arizona fans. Now, I don't know if that's going to change in the next 24 hours, if the Wildcat fans are going to come up in droves for the game here tomorrow. But we'll be over at the arena later today with U of A and Ohio State, and we'll have much more content. We'll talk about it later on in the show as well today here in Portland. On the other side, switch gears. We'll do a little bit of spring football. We've not talked Arizona State spring football. On the other side, Chris Cartman, ASU. From ASU, will join us in a couple of minutes. SunDevilSource.com, publisher, friend of the show with Scout. That is next. A little bit later on, we'll circle back on tomorrow seeing Stanley Johnson and for Ohio State watching their terrific freshman, D'Angelo Russell. Two lottery picks, probably top five picks. That'll be in tomorrow's game. We'll talk about that in about 10 minutes. And the Mariota trade rumors and more on Adrian Peterson from Portland. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We appreciate you being with us. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, and of course, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. I mean, all those places. That's where it's all going, digital, digital, digital. Stay with us.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Back here in Portland, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports on the road with the University of Arizona Wildcats as they roll through March Madness down with one game. Get ready for Ohio State tomorrow here. Later today, we'll be back over with the Cats at their practice. Media availability, really looking forward to visiting with Thad Matta and Sean Miller. Both of them very, very close. Third time they've gotten together. They were assistants, ironically, under Herb Sendek back in the day. And I believe two of the top five, eight picks in the NBA draft will be on display tomorrow here. Stanley Johnson and D'Angelo Russell. Absolutely love D'Angelo Russell, man. He's just a beast. We'll talk in about 10 minutes more about the Marcus Mariota. Five teams interested in trading up to the number two slot in the draft with Tennessee to go after Mariota. We'll talk about that. A goodie at the movies in about 30 minutes. But now we want to switch gears because spring football for ASU is in full swing. A lot of you ASU fans wanting some content and hear what's happening. And Chris Cartman, none better than SunDevilSource.com publisher Chris Cartman. He joins us for a couple of minutes. ASU football has today off. the player that has surprised you most so far in spring football workouts, not everybody else, you, who is that guy?
I'd probably say Billy McGee on offense. He's a right tackle. They need to replace two starting right tackles from last year. As you know, Tyler Soka was the right tackle, Jamil Douglas on the left side. Billy McGee is a guy who has really great length, 6'6", about 300 pounds. I don't know if he had a chip on his shoulder enough, to be honest with you, Brad. And then just some of the technical aspects of the position from a pass pro standpoint. He's made a lot of strides continuing on from what happened in December. And that's a big development for ASU because they need someone to step up and fill those two roles. Those are where they have probably some of the biggest holes on offense along with now receiver.
What happens with Durant with the off-the-field issue?
Well, that's just going to linger now. I mean, that's going to be a legal thing. I think he's going to have a hard time ever playing at ASU. The only way I see it playing out, and this isn't from my legal knowledge or whatever, but I've been talking to a lot of people who have perspective on domestic violence type cases at this stage, particularly where you have a witness, according to the police. The best case scenario for him as it relates to possibly playing at ASU would be a Class 6 felony plea, which could later be converted to a misdemeanor. That would be a possibility that may lead to a suspension that he can somehow survive at ASU. Other than that, I really don't see it happening. The alleged victim can be compelled to testify. They do have a witness. So he's in a really bad shape in that regard. And March 25th, I believe, is his next court appearance. There's been a plea agreement, I think, put to him, and we'll have to see what happens from there.
But your gut says he's not going to make the field?
I would say it's more than 50-50 that he never plays at ASU, and the only chance that really makes a lot of sense to me is if he takes a plea deal that's this Class 6 felony that can be converted later on to a misdemeanor, and that's because he has no priors. He probably has some people that can vouch for him from a character standpoint, and this is a first time sort of a thing. Certainly the girlfriend doesn't want him to get in trouble. Not that that necessarily matters from a prosecutorial standpoint, but just given the fact that domestic violence is such a big thing right now, it's such a third rail in sports, if you will, it's going to be a really tough thing to overcome, because not only is it what ASU football wants, it's what the ASU code of conduct dictates. It's what Ray Anderson feels is okay, because if he does play again at ASU, or should I say, if he does play at ASU, what happens if there's a subsequent incident? Then that reflects in a way that is not really going to work out for anybody at ASU.
How big of a blow is it on the field? I mean, that's minimal in my view. What happened off the field is of the more importance. But you and I both know there are people out there that don't care. They just want to know, is it going to hurt them on the field? What do you think?
Well, it's big. It's certainly big, because that's their probably biggest area on defense that's uncertain right now. They have a young freshman, Ishmael Murphy Richardson, who's going to be a really good player in time. I don't think he's ready right now. Going to have to accelerate his learning curve, his process. AJ Latou was expected to be at end, but because of this, they've moved him back to double. And he's had a pretty good start to the first few spring practices. But Davon Durant was a different type of a guy from an athletic standpoint. And I don't think they're going to be able to have that in somebody who's an older, more seasoned player. And that's going to affect the defense to some degree, without question.
Chris Cartman, SunDevilSource.com, a break from up here in Portland. Our coverage here in Portland brought to you by Quarles & Brady, LLP, with the University of Arizona Wildcats, getting ready tomorrow for Ohio State, talking spring football for a couple of minutes over on the ASU side. None better than Chris Cartman at SunDevilSource.com. On the field, on the offensive side of the football, there's been a lot that has been made about Eric Lauderdale coming in, big-time player. What have you seen so far out of Eric Lauderdale? Can he replace Jalen Strong?
Nobody's going to replace Jalen Strong, but he's definitely improved. Last year, he really struggled, Brad, with getting off of press or bump coverage at the line of scrimmage. That was his number one thing. He didn't have to deal with that a lot at the junior college level. It was easier to get into your routes and then showcase some of your athleticism, especially after the catch. where he struggled was not enough violence, not enough technique at using his hands and being physical to displace cornerbacks at the line of scrimmage. He's gotten better in that regard. He looks more comfortable in terms of understanding the system, the scheme, things of that nature. If he continues to make these kinds of strides moving forward between now and, like, let's say August, he does have a chance to play and maybe even play relatively effectively. You're not going to see anything like Jalen Strong from Lauderdale in the year ahead, and they're going to have to, by committee, sort of overcome what he was able to give. DJ Foster has looked really outstanding as a receiver in the first week, and so I think that's going to help.
You know, the word that I've heard from a couple people down there, and even on a coaching end, is that White has come in, and Berkovici's the guy at quarterback, but White's not making it like it's 100% done. It's 99.9% done, right, Chris? I mean, there's not really any way, shape, or form, but White has come in and has been really good. Let's talk about Berkovici, first of all, and how he's looked in spring camp.
Well, the good thing about Berkovici is he's taken what's been given to him, and that's always been the question with him on in practice setting and scrimmages, is he would try to force the issue a little bit too much. He's thrown no interceptions. He's shown a great command of the offensive scheme. He's been a leader. All the intangible things are off the charts with him. And now he's making the check down decisions correctly when he needs to. He's managing things in a different kind of way. I think he's been a great mentor, not only to the young quarterbacks, but other people. So all around, I've been very impressed by the performance of Mike Berkovici in practice. And now with Brady White, he's been breathtaking, really, in a lot of ways. His practice yesterday in particular was stunning to me, and I don't really use language like that.
Wow, yeah, you're saying breathtaking and stunning. That's not Chris Cartman. I mean, Chris
exactly.
Cartman never says breathtaking or stunning. What's the
exactly.
deal here? You sound like you're yes. in love here. You're gushing. It's disgusting. Come on.
He's so good, Brad, because
wow.
Most quarterbacks, even when they come in August, they're swimming. They're trying to figure everything out, the terminology, yeah. the language, the knowledge, managing things. The down and distances are even a problem. This guy doesn't have any of that stuff. He knows what he's doing. He's able to go through his progressions on the field. He's very accurate. There's no hesitancy throwing the ball, even over the middle, over outstretched arms. I don't think he's throwing an interception. Maybe he's had one interception in the first few days. I can remember Brock Osweiler or any of the really good quarterbacks that you've seen at ASU in recent years. Nobody's adjusted as well as Brady White has. And yesterday in particular was really something else. I mean, he's just a different caliber of a quarterback than we've seen typically be the case arriving as a freshman. His fluency and his understanding of what they're doing, even more so than his physical tools, which are all really good, is quite outstanding.
He's not pushing Burko, though, right? Or is
he? No, I don't see any way. I just don't see it. Burko he's too much of a leader. He understands things too well. He's got very good tools. I can't imagine any way where Brady White is overcoming Berkovici. But if by some reason Berkovici got hurt, I can see that ASU would have probably some good options. Because Manny Wilkins, we shouldn't count him out because he's done really well. And he also has a pretty big upside. He has a really good arm. He's more athletic than Brady White. He can run. He just needs the game to slow down just a little bit more for him. And if it does, he really could take off.
Before I let you go, and we're talking with Chris Cartman of SunDevilSource.com, Brad Sussmat, our coverage here in Portland with the University of Arizona Wildcat basketball program brought to you by Quarles & Brady, LLP. Quarles & Brady, LLP, we appreciate their support, their partnership in being involved with us, talking with Chris on many fronts. You are a hoopaholic, I would say. You love college basketball. You've been at a lot of college basketball, high school events through the years as well. I'm getting geeked for tomorrow. I'm going to see two lottery, if not high lottery picks in Stanley Johnson for the Cats and D'Angelo Russell for Ohio State, who I saw yesterday. And all I could say is OMG, OMG, OMG on social media. Have you watched up here at all? I mean, what are you thinking from your end? Because I respect your opinion on this front.
Yeah, I think Arizona winning the region. I think Arizona's they have the type of team that's very well suited for tournament play. They're long, athletic, great on defense. They have depth. The things that are really reliable and predict success, in my opinion, in the tournament setting, they have at a high level. I think Stanley Johnson is the best NBA prospect in the Pac-12. And you usually see guys like that take their game to a different level in March. So I really am high on their chances to be a Final Four team. I would go as far as to say that they're one of the one or two teams that would have a chance to compete or contend with Kentucky, given yep. that they're not really at that much of an athletic disadvantage, which is so big. And they have the ability to knock down shots. Their point guard play is at a very high level. I really like their team from in a tournament setting. And I'm jealous that you have the opportunity to be up there and watch some really good basketball this week.
No, it's a lot of fun. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks.
Okay, Brad. See ya.
This is Chris Cartman for a couple of minutes, SunDevilSource.com. Tomorrow, so we have Sean Miller and Thad Matta coaching against each other tomorrow in Arizona and Ohio State. Sean Miller and Thad Matta hate coaching against one another because they're so close. They coached together 20 years ago as part of Herb Sendek's staff, ironically, back in the day. And I'm watching Thad Matta coach yesterday. He coached his tail off against Shaka Smart. Shaka Smart, if I'm starting a college basketball program, Eric, by the way, today, the first call I'm going to make is probably to Shaka Smart, because I don't think I get Sean to leave Arizona. But I watched VCU and Ohio State yesterday up close and then walked in and sat and heard Shaka Smart talk afterwards. Man, I love him. I mean, he is awesome, even though they're out, you know?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, Brad, Shaka Smart is sort of the Mark Few of the East Coast. He's coaching at a smaller, I hate to use the term mid-major, because in college basketball there's a lot of equality now. But Shaka Smart is a great coach, and he's had chances to go to bigger schools. But why would you? I mean, VCU is always in the tournament. They made a great run a few years ago. He gets really good players, and the grass isn't always greener on the other side. That's why Chris Peterson stayed at the University of at Boise State for so long before finally going to the University of Washington. These coaches have become smarter as to when to jump and where to jump.
Who'd you watch yesterday you really liked? What was there a team?
I didn't honestly see a ton. I just watched a lot of a little bit. I watched a lot of a little of almost every game. But the way the UCLA came back against SMU in the final closing seconds was pretty unbelievable. And seeing Iowa State lose and watching Baylor lose, the biggest takeaway for me was the Big 12 was just brutal yesterday. Brutal.
Yeah. Big 12 is, they had a little bit of problems with football too at the end, you know, and they're having a little bit of problems with March Madness. Bob Bowlesby's not feeling so good about it. I didn't stay for the late session up here last night, so I didn't see Georgetown and Eastern Washington. I didn't see the Utah game. I've seen Utah enough. The VCU Ohio State game, the building was, there were more fans for that game than there were for the Arizona game. I just think fans for Arizona, they spend their money to go to the Pac-12 tournament, which is fine. And they see the road here that flying to Portland less than a week's notice. There were a lot of them, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like it was in Vegas where there were 15,000 of them. They're looking at next week and being all in Los Angeles. And today I was out on the street this morning. There are quite a few fans. Maybe they came in last night for the game tomorrow. Tomorrow's two heavyweights. Ohio State, Arizona is a heavyweight basketball matchup. It's terrific stuff.
Don't forget also, Brad, that U of A was the early game. So
yeah,
a lot of
true.
People were, you know, it's 11 o'clock. They're still working. And Ohio State played at night. So they might have gotten a little bit bigger crowd because of that.
Our coverage brought to you by Quarles & Brady, LLP, from serving the needs of sports organizations and athletes across the country to those of the research institutions and places of higher education that change our world. The national law firm of Quarles & Brady have been at the forefront of helping clients reach their goals for decades. Quarles & Brady, where the law and the cutting edge meet. On the other side, we're going to get back into Marcus Mariota. Five NFL teams interested in trading up for Marcus Mariota, according to Jason LaConfora. And I'm telling you guys right now, the Adrian Peterson tidal wave is going to just pick up this weekend. The NFL meetings are coming to the Biltmore starting tomorrow through Wednesday. Would Adrian Peterson show up here in Phoenix, go to the meetings, meet with the media, and say, I want out of Minnesota, and I'd like to come to Arizona. I've seen players that have gone to those extreme measures to force their way out. Would he dare do that this week? We'll talk about that on the other side. Goody at the movies, too, before we get out of here from Portland with the University of Arizona Wildcats. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Last night, I'm walking down the street in Portland. This isn't a joke, but I'm walking down the street in downtown Portland. And it's a nice city, and there's some nice places to go to. And I've got a free night. I've already done. It's great having an 11 a.m. game because you can get everything done and enjoy yourself. And I'm walking down the street with some families, and a guy comes running up to two ladies and drops a couple of F-bombs on them and runs off screaming. So there's a little bit, and a few other things happened downtown last night where I was just kind of like, okay, every city has their moments and every city has their spots. And somehow I found my way into some spots last night that were kind of interesting. I had to get out of. I ended up over at the Yard House. Yard House, good spot. I ended up over there with Paula Bovin from our good friend from the Republic, AZ Central. We watched games last night. There were some pretty darn good games last night, the late games. They were a lot of fun. And we're going to talk about Thad Matta here in a couple of minutes, the coach for Ohio State, the player that he has that maybe the number one overall pick in the draft. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Goody at the movies as well. Marcus Mariota, I do want to get to this today as we transition out of what's going on up here in Portland. Jason Lockenfour, who is one of the best in the business, wrote today about five teams that are looking at Tennessee. Tennessee has the number two pick. Tennessee brought in Jameis, brought in Marcus. And the Titans are at least checking around and kicking the tires on trading out of the number two spot. But if you look at quarterbacks and just the dollars and cents of it, if they take Mariota at the second overall pick, they control him for the next 5 years at $5 million a year. That's not a big number at quarterback. So from a planning standpoint, a lot of these NFL teams, they don't plan. Like the New Orleans Saints are in jail because they have Drew Brees' contract. And that's one of the teams that Jason Lockenfour brought up in his column today, that there are five teams looking at trying to trade up for Mariota with a number two overall pick. New Orleans picks 13th and 31st overall. So they have two first-round picks. Let's be honest. Tennessee is awful. Ken Whisenhunt doesn't have a whole lot to work with. And if a team wants a player that badly, would they trade? Should they trade both number one picks in order to go get a player of Mariota's caliber? This could be Drew Brees' last season in New Orleans. And we already saw New Orleans trade Jimmy Graham, which was pretty shocking. And there comes a point where you've got to retool and restock at quarterback. Is New Orleans, is it time to do that? Cleveland picks at number 12. So the Johnny Manziel situation is one that we don't know how that's going to work out from him going through rehab. We know that Josh McCown is a caretaker, but Josh McCown is not the future of the organization. The Browns tried to get in on Sam Bradford, according to Jason Lockenfour, but they did not. You have St. Louis, which picks 10th overall. 10th spot, would Nick Foles do anything for Ken Whisenhunt? Foles Mariota would give them insurance in instigating a couple of deals if the team were to move from St. Louis to Los Angeles. You have to start thinking of that. If St. Louis moves to Los Angeles, Jason brings this up, and it's a valid point, and I've heard this before. Quarterback moves to Los Angeles first or second year, all of a sudden becomes a billboard for the NFL. Nick Foles is not a billboard for the NFL. Sorry, no other way to put it. It's not bashing on the kid. He's not a top overall player at his position. We don't know if Mariota would be that player, but we do know that putting him up on billboards would do something and quite a bit. And you think back on the RG3 deal, where St. Louis moved up to get Tavon Austin. So St. Louis is active. So would St. Louis make a run at Mariota? The San Diego Chargers, Jason brings up. And Eric, here's your team. The Chargers picking 17th, Phillip Rivers not interested in a contract extension this offseason. His deal expires after next year. Would they be willing to move him in the right deal? Now, Phillip Rivers, in my opinion, and I sleep with a Charger fan. She's given birth to four kids that she's tried to turn into Charger fans, and I just won't allow it through 26 years of marriage in our household. It's not happening. I haven't dropped this bit of bombshell news on her, but would the Chargers look at saying, hey, Phillip, get out of here. If we're not going to sign you to an extension, we got to get something for you.
I wonder why he would not want to sign an extension. Does he want to retire? Is he looking at, you know, looking at what the Chargers have and thinking, well, we're a good team, but we're not a Super Bowl contending team. And let's be honest, over the next 2, 3, 4 years, maybe we won't be a Super Bowl contending team. The finances and everything that goes into the NFL, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald will probably end his career playing for only one franchise, and that is becoming more and more and more rare.
Okay, let me throw this at you. When Phillip Rivers had a very good season 2 years ago, who was the coach that was working with him? Ken Wisenhunt. Ken Wisenhunt now is at Tennessee. Is Phillip Rivers a Southern boy? Yes, he is. He could go to Tennessee and be in Nashville. If the Chargers were to move to Los Angeles, is Phillip Rivers a Los Angeles Hollywood glitz guy?
Absolutely
not. Answer on that. No, he's not. So, you know, you start looking at that situation. Now, what do the Chargers have to get Mariota? 17th overall pick, Phillip Rivers. That's pretty much a bombshell if you're going to make that deal happen for the number 2 overall pick. And it's to think of Phillip Rivers not in a Charger uniform for some people would be hard to imagine. Not me, because like you said, Eric, they've gotten about as far as they can get, I think, with Phillip Rivers there. At some point, as much as fans like to hear this, you've got to retool. So there's that one. And the last team that Jason Lockenfor brings up with CBS Sports, one of the best insiders around, is Philadelphia. Philadelphia picks 20th, and that would be a significant move for them. But does Sam Bradford interest Tennessee? Did the Eagles make the Sam Bradford move with the intent of getting Sam Bradford to Ken Wisenhunt so that Chip Kelly can get his hands on Marcus Mariota? Could Kelly convert Bradford into another first-round pick and then sweeten the pot? So there's quite a bit out there that with the NFL meetings starting tomorrow and through the week and the Adrian Peterson to the Cardinals stuff, it's going to be a big NFL week next week. And it's nothing against what's going on up here. I'm just saying that if you're a Cardinal fan or an NFL fan and you're wanting to see some things happen, we've already seen a ton of deals. And Mariota to 5 different teams, if I'm Tennessee, I probably make one of those moves. I'm not one player away. And if I bring in a young quarterback, he's just going to get run over. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So the other morning, I'm running around getting ready to head up here. It's the day before, actually. And I was making all my plans and my adjustments on schedules and covering kids here and there. I took my son to his basketball practice, my 10-year-old son, and he comes out of practice and he's just beaming. He's just smiling. And we get in the car and he turns on the Sirius XM and his favorite music channel. We roll down the windows. We open the sky roof and we're just driving along. He's just having a great old time. Guys, I don't know. We're so busy on our work front. Do we ever take time to just love the little small things? Do you have a vehicle that you get into and you're like, man, this vehicle sucks. I can't believe I'm still driving this. I've not felt that way at all about the Fusion Hybrid. I just don't feel that way about it. And as long as I've been driving vehicles from Santan Ford, every time I'm in them, it doesn't matter if it's the F-150 or the Explorer that my wife, the certified pre-owned that she drives, or me and the Fusion Hybrid, I'm smiling. 45 miles to the gallon, are you kidding me? But you also have a vehicle you have memories made in. And I'm bumping around with my son doing this and that with him. It's a lot of fun. The Fusion Hybrid from Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Our coverage here in Portland with the University of Arizona Wildcats brought to you by Quarles and Brady LLP. Goody at the Movies is on the other side as we continue from Portland. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We're with the Arizona Wildcats, round 2 of March Madness tomorrow against Ohio State. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports here in Portland, on the road with the University of Arizona Wildcats, brought to you by Quarles and Brady LLP, from serving the needs of sports organizations and athletes across the country to those of the research institutions and places of higher education that change our world. The national law firm of Quarles and Brady has been at the forefront of helping clients reach their goals for decades. That's Quarles and Brady, where the law and the cutting edge meet. It is time for Goody at the Movies every week. AZ Central chief film media critic Bill Goodykoontz. For a couple of minutes last night, Bill popped into my head. I was having dinner with Paula Bovin over at the Yard House here in Portland. We were watching the end of Wolford against Arkansas. And I said, I bet Bill Goodykoontz is going crazy because he was rooting for the Terriers, but the Razorbacks pulled it out. Are you in mourning today, or are you going to give me the give it the good college try, Bill?
No, I'm sad. I wanted them to win. They've had plenty of moral victories. They came really close against Wisconsin 5 years ago. I thought last night they actually had one, but obviously it didn't turn out.
I would like to know the person who came up with the term moral victories and slapped them upside the head.
It's the guy that won and felt bad for the people that he beat. Because it's not the guy that lost.
So the ratings are up 10% nationally. The sport is just continuing to thrive, and there's nothing quite like March Madness. I do know people, though, that don't like it. Do you know people that don't like it?
I know people who don't care about it. I don't know that I know people who actively dislike it. Yeah, the ratings are the best. But you say the sport is thriving. I'd say it's thriving for about 2 weeks of the year. And now everybody becomes kind of an instant expert. And I think that the shame of it is you realize that, like, if you paid a little more attention, I don't mean you, but I mean all of us, if we pay more attention, there's games like this all the time. You know, we're just not watching them.
No, that's right. I think they've done a better job of making matchups. Like tomorrow up here, Arizona, Ohio State's going to draw a big number. And you've got two of the top five freshmen in the nation going after one another. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's get into the movie side of things, because I don't want guys to get thrown under the bus, but they're going to just say, hey, I can't go to the movies. Is Insurgent worth seeing this weekend?
It's okay. I like it better than the first one. It's still not great. I mean, it's Shailene Woodley is still the reason to see it. She's really good. She's been in a lot of stuff where she's been really good. And Miles Teller, who was played opposite J.K. Simmons in Whiplash. And he was in Spectacular Now with Shailene Woodley is in a scene in this movie, actually, with I think, three other actors who she has played the girlfriend of in different movies. But Miles Teller is not in it a lot, but he's really good and really funny when he's in it. And what's funny about that is he has done interviews where he said, yeah, he said, these movies are stupid. I just do these to make money so I can make other stuff. And he's like, the best thing about it.
That's funny. Okay, how about Wild Tales? Wild Tales, worth seeing this weekend?
Wild Tales is awesome. It's like six stories. You'd think they're by different directors. They're all by the same guy. And they're all in Spanish. It's subtitles. But they're all linked by revenge. And they are just nuts. They are wild. You've got to like dark humor because it's really dark humor. But it's really funny. And it's really good. Just really well made. If you like stuff like that, and you're like in a bitter mood and you want to feel good about it, justified about it, you should go see it.
Wild Tales. All right. Good stuff there. Let me ask you on the tournament, and I want to get back to that. Do you have an announcing team? Like yesterday, I sat right behind Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan and Dan Bonner up here for the U of A game. And Reggie Miller, Bill, is getting up and pumping his fists while he's broadcasting. It's really cool to see somebody, like Stanley Johnson went baseline and threw a hammer down dunk. And he gets up, he's pumping his fists, he's talking about Stanley Johnson and LeBron James in the same breath. I don't know, are there crews that you like to hear this time of year?
I like Passion and Walton, but they're not doing this. Yes, you know who I really like? I like Harlan's voice. I've just always liked him. I like him on Monday Night Football. But I'll tell you a guy that I really like, and part of it is because I loved watching him when I was a kid, is Jim Spanarkle. And you know, he played for Duke, and before Duke got really good, they were the start. He and Jaminski and those guys, they were the start of them getting good. You know, and I think he's really good. And I don't know. One of the things I do like about this time of year is, man, they are just pulling them out from everywhere because they got so many games they got to get all these announcers, especially yesterday and today. And I think it's great. Sometimes you hear people you haven't heard in a long time. Sometimes it's like Spinarkle, who usually only does regional stuff or for a specific school or something. And I just enjoy that part of it.
I heard Marv Albert this morning doing New Mexico State in Kansas, and I'm thinking NBA or college. He's trying to figure New Mexico State out, and he's good, don't get me wrong. But I don't know. There's some guys I'd rather just them stick to the NBA side of things.
Well, sometimes, and this can be true of Barkley and Kenny Smith, too. I mean, I think they work hard to do their homework and stuff, but you can tell that they're helicoptering in and just kind of dropping in on it because they're big names. And yeah. In Marv Albert's case, he's a great announcer, you know, Hall of Fame announcer, but in the announcer's case, they got to have people. They just need bodies. And if you're going to have a body, why not have somebody who's great at it? I mean, I would do it. I would probably do it for a lot less than they pay these guys. By the way, I have done it when I lived in Kingman, when I was the Republic's Kingman Bureau. Local radio guy let me be the color commentator for a Kingman High School basketball tournament game, and I was horrible.
Do you save the tape?
No. You know, I also did one of the last road trips with them, and they let me do some color for that. And the problem I had is, and you're a pro, you know, I clammed up. I didn't want to say anything that was stupid, which was almost impossible. But the second, I didn't want to step on the play-by-play guy's feet. You know, I think like so much of what I spend my living criticizing, that stuff is harder than it looks.
I would think doing a game with you would be really hard, Bill. No offense. It's just you have so many good thoughts coming out. You're very free-flowing, and you have this cadence where you pause, and it's like, okay, can I talk or not? So I think you'd be terrific. I just think you'd drive a play-by-play guy nuts for a little bit. It's not a swipe, you know. I'd say keep doing it, you know, work at it.
I feel like that's a nice way of saying you're really undisciplined.
That's pretty good. I will let you go off that. I'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy it up Bill there. Goody.
You got it. It's Portland. Bill Goodykoontz, AZ Central Chief Film Media Critic. Eric, I think Bill doing color on basketball would be really hard for the play-by-play guy.
You think?
You know, we've been doing Goody at the movies for a few years, and there's just those pauses where you're just trying
Oh, yeah. He's always a wild card. You never know what he's going to say, when he's going to talk, when he's not going to talk. That's just what makes Goody so good.
Let me get back to something up here, and that is Thad Matta. So Thad Matta, there are some great quotes up here yesterday. Mike Davis, the coach at Texas Southern, after U of A beat him up, he came in and said, TJ McConnell is the head of the snake. You got to cut him off to kill the team. Stanley Johnson, he said, we've never seen a body like that walk out on the floor against our team, which I liked. Here is Thad Matta from Ohio State yesterday. This is after they won their game in overtime against VCU. And now Ohio State plays Arizona up here tomorrow afternoon at 2:15.
In terms of Arizona, you know, they are probably completely different in terms of how VCU plays. You know, the big guys in Ashley and Tarzewski, you know, are definitely monsters down there. We got to come up with something.
Monsters down there. Stanley Johnson against D'Angelo Russell tomorrow. And D'Angelo Russell, if you've not seen him play yet, he is considered one of the, if not the top pick in the draft, one of the top few picks in the draft this year if he turns pro. He's only 19. He is a 6'5 combo guard, played some point yesterday, played shooting guard yesterday, has a 6'9 wingspan. He had 28 against VCU. And man, when I'm watching him go up and down the court and as smooth as he is, you can see why he could be the number one overall pick in the draft. He is terrific. He's fun to watch. But Ohio State doesn't have much else alongside of him. And so Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's defense, TJ McConnell's smarts on the floor, I think they take care of Ohio State tomorrow. But the coaching matchup between Sean Miller and Thad Matta, because they are so close as friends, and Thad Matta says he hates coaching against Sean. And this will be the third time they've coached against one another. Eric and I saw them 2 years ago out at the Sweet 16 in L.A. And that was a game where Aaron Kraft, the Ohio State point guard, just ripped the hearts out of the Cats. And was it Jarrett, the guard or the forward, Eric, that left U of A after 1 year and he's bumping around on a bus somewhere?
Grant Jarrett is the name that people remember from that game and his late game meltdown, which helped Ohio State advance.
He didn't want to talk afterwards either, which, you know, any player that can't talk about what happened positively or negatively, that's not good. So he decided to turn pro, and he's never been back. So Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports here in Portland. From here, we head over to the Moda Center here in Portland, where Sean Miller and his team are going to be available shortly. I'll be doing plenty of content on the site that we'll put up. Also, social media it out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those places that you go to. Our coverage here on the road with U of A to the Final Four is brought to you by Quarles and Brady LLP. Quarles and Brady LLP, from serving the needs of sports organizations and athletes across the country to those of the research institutions and places of higher education to change our world, the national firm of Quarles and Brady. We appreciate their support on the road here in Portland. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports on a Friday.